Okay, hey, listen, here's the phone number again, 800-859-0957. Let's go to our first caller. That's Harry out in Port Huron. Hi, Harry. How you doing?
Good, guys, and thank you for everything, and thank you for the information about Jaws and the other things that you mentioned in the first hour.
Oh, good. And by the way, those folks are still around from iChallenge if you have a specific question for them, but go ahead.
My question is, I'm considering going to the Mac from Windows, and because I like the voiceover screen reader, and it's reads everything that's built right in, which I like, and but I've got files, I've got folders, just like anybody else does, and I got folders, and I want to be able to plug my thumb drive into my Mac and be able to, you know, open up those folders and get into that. Am I going to have to do that, or can I do that, or somebody was telling me I'd have to reformat the thumb drive and everything else?
Cal?
No, nothing at all. It's really quite, quite. How old is your Mac?
Well, it's going to be brand new. I'm getting it brand new.
He has a Windows machine. He's going to a Mac.
Okay, yep. No problem. The thing that they're probably getting confused on is this. A Mac can read and write Windows files as long as the thumb drive is not formatted as NTFS.
Okay.
So if it's in FAT32 or extended FAT, it can read it. It can read it if it's NTFS. It just can't write it if it's NTFS.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and take that thumb drive, stick it into your Windows machine, move all the folders you want onto that thumb drive, and then after you do that, put it into your Mac and copy them over into your Mac with no problem at all.
Okay. So after I copy them over there, I don't know if they're NTFS or what they are in Windows, but am I going to be able, it sounds like I wouldn't be able to go in and edit them.
No, the issue doesn't sound like...
Well, it depends on what files you're copying,
yeah.
For one, okay?
Right.
What type of files do you plan on copying?
I've got some .txt, and then I've got some RTFs, and I've got some .docx's.
And none of those will be a problem as long as you have... are you going to use Office on your Mac like you're using them on Windows to create those files?
Not sure yet. I'm either going to use Office or the text edit.
Okay. You should have no problem at all opening up any of those documents using with your machine. You're going to get a free program, a suite called iWork. And in there you'll have a program called Pages, which is the word processing program. And all those file formats that you mentioned, you should be able to open up in Pages.
Super.
And if you
want to
work,
guys, you save me a lot of hassle, and it's going to be worth it.
Well, Harry, in addition to that, by the way, if you do want to work with the Office programs, you can, for instance, sign up for them. For Office 365 Home, which will allow you to download the whole Office suite, the entire Office suite, onto your Mac.
Right.
And you can use that there as well. And it's like, what's it, $10 a month?
Yeah.
Right, Shane?
I think it's $6 a month.
$6 a month, okay.
If you're using
the basic one.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so you've got that option as well. But as Cal said, iWork comes with the new Macs, right?
Because he's buying a new Mac, he'll get iWorks with it free. That'll give him Pages, Numbers, which is the spreadsheet program, and Keynote, which is your presentation program.
So you're covering on all the bases, okay, Harry?
Thank you guys very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to have your call. And for anybody else out there who's looking for help, we got lots of it in here. 800-859-0957. Hey, listen, it's a great time to call here on the holiday weekend. You won't be standing in line. 800-859-0957. Back to take your calls in just a moment. Welcome. It's the Internet Advisor. Hour number two is your hour. That's when your calls set the agenda for our program. And we do hope you'll take advantage of that at 800-859-0957. That's our toll-free number. And the lines are open for you right now. Shane.
Yes, yes, sir.
You have an event coming up at your store.
I do.
That is kind of a neat one. Tell us a little bit about what's going on this weekend and where.
Well, on the 30th and 31st of May this month, next weekend, Friday and Saturday, we are going to be opening up our doors to our customers and listeners as well to come in and drop off, kind of do some spring cleaning. You know, it's garage sale season. Salvation Army and a lot of these other Purple Heart won't take computers like they did once before.
Yes.
They just don't do it. So you can't throw them away. They won't take them. Bring them to us, and we'll recycle them for you.
So where is us?
We're CompTech Services on Shaner, Shaner 19 Southeast Corner in Sterling Heights. And you can find us online. You come on down. We're all day Friday from 10 to 6, and on Saturday from 10 to 2. Bring your advice. And you know what? If you've got an old machine, an XP machine or a Vista machine, and you want to get into a Windows 8 or a 7 machine, bring it down, recycle it. We'll give you a $30 credit to get you... to get you in there.
That's cool.
Just to help.
Very cool. Okay. So, by the way, to find out more about where Shane is, we have a special feature on our homepage, right near the very bottom, and it's called Computer Shops You Trust. And what this is, it's a collection of places you've told us about. These are our computer shops in your neighborhoods that you've dealt with and that you are confident that the people deal with you well there. We take your recommendations, by the way, and we'll check them out, of course. But
sometimes we can't check them out. They're too far away. So we just put them up, right?
Yep,
so
exactly. What we want is to have a personal recommendation rather than just kind of a name thrown out there. And people like you do take the time to do that. So if you go to the bottom of that page, you'll find, for instance, the Lakeside Convenience Store out in Michigan Center, Michigan. You'll also find PC Gladiators on Wayne Road in Livonia, Icon Computer Solutions in Wayne, Tecoso Computer Solutions in Ferndale, AI Tech Services in Farmington, and CompTech Services in Sterling Heights. So if you know of a place that you really trust, you think these guys do a great job and you want to have other people know about it, please send us that information. We'll list it there, and it's called Computer Shops You Trust, and we hope that you will dive in and take advantage of that. Don from Shelby Township, how may we help you on the Internet Advisor?
I have a 10-year-old Dell computer, and I have a wireless keyboard that I bought with the computer, so that's 10 years old also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was typing on it, and a letter would come up, and then it would miss a few letters, and another letter would come up. And now, when I type on it, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no letters come up. And I was just wondering, because there's something I could do to get my keyboard to work again.
So, it may be that keyboards are pretty cheap today.
Well, he's using a wireless keyboard, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
correct, yeah.
Did you try changing the batteries?
Yeah, yes, I did that.
Did you try taking the receiver that's plugged in the USB port for that out of the computer, rebooting the computer, and then sticking the receiver back in and pressing the little red connect button on that and then the one on the keyboard?
No, I didn't. So, I'm kind of like in kindergarten on the computers. Yeah, there was a receiver in that since it was, I just thought it was something magic, you know?
Yeah, generally on the back of the computer, if it's a desktop, in one of the USB ports, you'll see something that looks like a thumb drive sticking out of it. And
uh-huh.
I'm going to guess that the brand of your keyboard is Logitech?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Right.
On the back, you'll see that little device stuck in the back of the computer, and it'll say Logitech on it. It'll have a little red button on it for connect as well.
Oh, okay.
So try doing that. Or if you have, do you have, you know, cats or anything in the house?
I have what?
Do you have any pets in the house?
No.
Okay. Just or grandchildren.
Because sometimes they act the same, do they?
sometimes they get in the back of the computer and they knock that little thing out of it, and so therefore it won't receive anymore. But try doing that first and see if that'll fix it.
Okay, so I unplug that connection and then turn the computer off?
Yes.
And then?
Turn the computer back on.
Uh-huh.
And then put that little connector back into the USB port that you pulled it out of.
Uh-huh.
And then press the little button on that on that little connector.
Okay, I will definitely give that a try.
And you know, Don, I'm going to step in and give you the real technical way to fix this. Turn it upside down and tap on it, you know, like with your fingers. Get all the crumbs and stuff out of there. There might be a crumb or two in the receptors of the keys.
Yeah, I'd say 10 years worth.
I kind of did that. Turn it upside down and shake it.
And bang it on the keyboard or the desk a little bit. I mean, you know, it's not going to hurt it too bad as long as you don't smash it now.
Sure.
Okay, don't do it immediately after supper because you're going to turn your stomach over.
Yes.
Because usually, if you're like me, you find eyelashes,
small children,
yeah, dust bunnies. Yeah.
Yeah, small children and all kinds of quarters. You never know what you'll find in there. But and the good news about this whole thing is keyboards are cheap. $39, you get a combo, and you're done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but the wireless, by the way, is wonderful. It's way to go.
Yeah,
really neat.
No,
I got to tell you about a little.
Although
my
keyboard has problems because it's inaccurate a lot of the time too. You know, it misspells words sometimes.
Yes.
You know, all sorts of things. So misses a punctuation.
The older I get, the jumpier I get. That happens more and more
misses
often.
Misses punctuation marks sometimes. Yeah.
You know, it's funny too because some of these, you know, these optical mice, these laser optical mice. You'll have some where you'll see the mouse just jumping all over the place, and it's not going where you want it to go.
Yeah.
And sometimes you look in there, you got a little teeny hair
stuck
way in the light sensor.
Yep.
And you get a little tweezer and you can pull it out.
Do you remember, boom, folks, the days when you used to have to take that mouse apart and there would be a ball of hair wound around the bulb, right?
You had to scrape the little rollers, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I didn't know that would happen with the optical mice, too.
Yeah, there's a little teeny right. trap, little recess in there, and those arm hair, whatever.
And that's all that's needed.
I got one better than that for you, Foster. I had a client said my mouse stopped working. It was working fine the other day. It stopped working. I went over to her house. She had an optical mouse.
Uh-huh.
She had just gotten a glass top for her desk, and it wouldn't reflect the light back properly.
That's so true. And you do, it'll tell you, you know, you need to have something underneath that will block the light from passing through. I have a glass desk as well. And you can't, if you get off, the mouse is gone. Can't see a thing.
Awesome.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Don, for your call. I'm glad we were able to give you a little bit of help here.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to try both methods.
All right. Have yourself a good day, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. All right. Number again?
Oh, go ahead.
It's 800-859-0957. That's a toll-free 800-859-0957. Hey, at first come, first serve, and we have a lot of room here. We'd love to talk with you.
Foster, yeah. I was just going to mention that, you know, Memorial Day weekend, everybody's out driving.
Mm-hmm.
I know you use Waze, right?
I love Waze.
I do, too.
W-A-Z-E. Like,
does anybody else here, you guys?
Yeah, I do. The lady I carpool with, and that's ideal. When you have a passenger that can look at it, so you don't have to glance at it when you're driving.
Yeah, that's
it's a free download from Google. It's a Google application
for your smartphone.
It's for navigation.
Yep.
And what I love about Waze in particular for travel, and Cal, we were talking at the break about applications can help you when you're on the road. I'm going to be using that. I have to go up and visit my. We're going to go up and visit on Memorial Day our twin granddaughters up at CMU. And Waze is wonderful because not only does it show you where you are and the different, the highways, it shows you where the traffic blocks are. It shows you your speed that you're traveling and whether you're, you know, in or out of, you know, alignment with what the speed limit is. And it's just a great.
It's great. You know, there's you actually can report problems and
yes.
whatnot.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about it is that you can actually see there's a very simple little button you can click even when you're driving without a lot of distraction. It simply says it's heavy traffic here.
Right.
Or there's an accident on the side of the road or whatever.
Maybe a police officer. There's a button for
that
too.
Yep.
Yep. We'll mention that one so loudly, but a lot of, there's a button like that too.
There's a lot of caterpillars ahead, as we say.
Yes.
So as you use it, you see all these different graphical symbols that represent accidents and or slow traffic, and we just call them caterpillars.
Yep. Yeah,
you know it. They did a survey in prep for
this
big driving weekend. 35% of those that answered the survey said that having a smartphone makes them a more efficient driver. Obviously, Waze is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
More than 38% of respondents said that they would give up watching their favorite sport team in exchange for no traffic for a year. You know, I think I'm there. It could be 39%. I'm right there. If I had no traffic.
All right, folks, and that is Waze, W-A-Z-E. A little later on in the program, I'm going to tell you about a great Nokia application for travel that's like that. It's a Nokia Drive, which is just incredible. A lot like that Waze, and it's free as well with those of you who have Windows phones. Barbara from Monroe, we'll be back to take your call in just a moment when we come back. Hey, time for me to salute the folks behind the glass again. Annie, thank you so much. Good to have you back. Annie Nichols, our ladies of phones. She's also an expert DJ who was often busy on another radio station this time, but we're delighted to have her with us. Rich Lisinski, thank you so much, our engineer. And he's in charge of the applause and the screams occasionally. Phone numbers, 800-859-0957 is the phone number. Toll free. Come on, get on board. And let's dive in and talk with Barbara from Monroe. How can we help you there, Barbara? I'm the Internet Advisor.
Hello. Happy Veterans Weekend to all you gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have a Toshiba laptop, Windows 7. I keep getting a message that my battery needs to be replaced. My daughter replaced the battery on hers. My machine is almost 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go to get a battery, and what do I have to do? Do I have to take everything off of my computer?
No, this is you have a laptop? Pardon me. Was it a laptop you said you had?
Yes, Toshiba.
A Toshiba laptop.
Mm-hmm. And I keep getting a message on my computer from Toshiba saying my battery needs to be replaced.
So about 4 years or so, if you're using it a lot, mm-hmm. or if you've let it run out all the way down to zero.
I've never let it run out.
That may be part of the problem. She hasn't really discharged it all
and
the
maybe
way.
Maybe if you don't use it at all, do you keep it almost always plugged in?
When I'm on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's just take a little side road on that about battery
use. So
4 years,
whether, we could talk about battery use.
Just quickly about that, guys. Can you comment on that?
And then we'll answer.
Well, I mean, it's lithium ion, right, Shane? So lithium ion does not develop a memory.
Oh, okay.
But it is a good idea. It is a good idea every now and then to exercise the battery by running it all the way down and then charging it back
all the way down to 3%, but not all the way out, right?
You know, I used to run down when I ran to the
end of the street. I'd run it down as low as I possibly could, yeah. But, you know, she's at that point now where probably the battery is shot anyway. So what I would do is I would – do you have access to another computer?
I do.
Okay. Then turn off your laptop. Flip your computer over, pull the battery out, and look at the model number on the battery.
Okay. I purchased it from Best Buy.
Okay.
And then what you're going to do is you can go out on the internet and search for places that sell Toshiba batteries and just put in Toshiba battery and that model number of that battery, and you'll get a multitude of places that you can order them from.
Yeah, just go to Google and type it right into Google.
Well, Shane, now what would you do as a retailer?
As a retailer? Yeah. Well, obviously we don't carry every battery in the store. We carry some of the common ones, but that's not a thing. We always have to order our batteries from vendors. The best way for you to order that battery is, like they said, go online, but go to Amazon or eBay, okay?
Yep.
But the key word that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to always put genuine in the search when you go to search, because then you're going to wind up with some knockoff from China, and it's going to last you, 6 months to a year, and you're going to be right back to where you started.
Okay.
So you want to get a genuine Toshiba. So flip the battery over. Look at the part number, so put Toshiba satellite battery, put the part number, and then put genuine, and you'll find the genuine battery, the Toshiba.
Good point.
Right. And I've done that on Amazon, and they're usually just with a couple dollars of each other, and you know, I'm really thinking about getting an Amazon Prime account. As many times as I've used it.
Yeah.
And now I have kids in college, and the lady I carpool with, her daughter's up in Alaska for the next 9 months working up there, earning some extra cash, coming back to Michigan and spending it. So her daughter said to send her a care package, and I said, go to Amazon and send her the toilet paper and stuff, and let Amazon send it to her, you know? And so she's a Prime member.
As a matter of fact, just to save some time, do you have that laptop in front of you right now?
Yes, I do.
What is the model number on the top of that laptop?
A665.
A665?
Uh-huh. It's a satellite A665. Is that what you're asking?
Yep.
That's exactly.
What
it's... Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you
So while these guys are looking it up...
And I do have an Amazon account.
Well, you could go to Amazon, Amazon's a great place to go, but there's also some others. So batteriesplus.com is a good place to go
Tiger,
for batteries.
Tiger Direct?
Tiger Direct would be good potentially for certain things. I would always check it against Amazon. Amazon uses, they would not sell directly batteries.
No,
so what they do,
they have third parties.
So what they do is they have third parties, and they are built right in, so you don't even know that it's not Amazon.
Oh, it'll tell you in the listing that this isn't directly from Amazon.
Yes, but I mean, you have to look for it,
right? Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't really matter, and they stand behind it, so that's really good, and Amazon's built a great business for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, all of the business-to-business inner, what they call integration, is built right here in Detroit.
Oh, really?
Right, in fact, not too far from where we're sitting right now. Garrett Gaw runs that office.
Mm.
His we used to work together. His wife now works with me, Marianne Schumer.
Mm.
But people don't realize all of the technology that's built here. So all that integration with business to business using Amazon is built right here in Detroit.
Wow.
That integration portion of it.
That's
so I would never say not to use Amazon, but there are some other good places as well.
Okay. Right. And Tigers, what was the other one? Tigers? Something?
Tiger Direct.
If you just put it into Google.
Yeah, you can just Google for it. You'll get a whole bunch.
You know what? They're going to be, and as Shane said, genuine. So you want to make sure they're genuine.
Right.
Toshiba batteries. And I would spend a few bucks more to get a Toshiba one, but you can go to lots of different companies that would give you genuine Toshiba batteries. So Laptop Battery Depot is another one that would have that.
So there's a lot of places out there you can shop around.
In Google. And you might you know, end up with going to Amazon anyway, which would be great.
And now remember, you're going to also have different types of cell. There's 6 cell, 9 cell.
What's the difference?
The larger size. Battery size.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And the last longer.
Yeah, the last 12 cell. You know, for instance, to just give you an example, like a new battery for her 655, was it? Yeah, 665.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most sold Toshiba laptop in the market right now. That's the one everyone has. So you're going to get a good price on that battery because the demand's really
got any
quite
prices?
There. Depending on what size she's looking at, somewhere between 35 and 50, 60 mm-hmm. bucks.
And to replace the one you have, it's probably the 35. They probably put
correct.
Just the 6 cell, the 6 cell yeah. in there. Yeah.
And when I was looking for mine, I'm cheap, mm-hmm. and I found a genuine Dell for $14 for mm-hmm. for the laptop that I was doing, yep. and I could not believe it. And it's just that it was a 5-year-old laptop,
yeah.
like Shane said, very popular, and people were just, competing to sell
check,
those batteries.
Check Overstock.com, right?
Oh,
it would
yeah.
be another place where somebody has these sitting there in a warehouse because they were probably built a little while ago, and they may be selling them. So you never know. That's a little more of of a guess sometimes where you can.
So we've taken a little longer because there's a number of different things. It's a great question that you opened up. By the way, folks, this is a good example of how when you ask questions, it helps not just with that specific question, but also can help with a whole bunch of other things. And if it raises another question for you, folks, just follow it up with 800-859-0957. Barb, have a good weekend.
Can I ask you,
oh,
if
sure,
I take
absolutely.
The battery out, I won't lose everything on my computer?
No,
you won't.
Taking the battery out is the same as when you turn the computer off,
right.
And then you take the battery out, it doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah, turn the computer off before you take the battery out.
That's good. Yep, exactly.
That's just precaution. You might not
that's
to,
a good
but
point.
It's a good precaution.
Yeah, run shutdown on the computer because if you've been using this computer, it's quite possible you've just been shutting the lid for the last 4 years or,
That's what I would do.
And that's a good point.
And that's what Gary would do. So actually run a shutdown and then pull the battery.
Right. Guys, I'm going to ask you, we didn't touch on this too much, but Eddie, you sent me an article during the week, and it's been a big story, actually, about eBay being hacked. Are you guys as confident shopping at eBay now since that hack was announced?
You know, I haven't shopped at eBay in a number of years.
I
went to my PayPal account and changed that password because there was a point in time where eBay and PayPal used the same IDs and passwords.
Oh.
So that's what I went to was PayPal. I could not log in with my eBay account because I guess it's been too long since I've used it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, like myself, I always have a separate account, bank account for online transactions that everything's tied into. And whenever there is a transaction, I get a notification on my phone. So I'm pretty quick with knowing if there's fraud out there with my accounts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the eBay thing, I mean, there was some data leaked. It was encrypted credit card or encrypted mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. So the chances of them actually breaking the encryption are pretty rare.
Very.
You know, so,
yeah.
I mean.
I was just wondering because.
I don't even think the government could
in the conversation,
Microsoft's encryption.
Yeah, I bet the government could, but yeah, not many others.
They have to work at it, yeah.
The reason I asked the question, though, is in all of, when we were talking with Barbara and other folks who are listening out there about where you go to shop for stuff, eBay isn't coming up as much as it used to come up because that was one of the first places you would go.
Correct.
Well, for getting those great bargains. Mm-hmm. But actually now, it's like you can get them better elsewhere.
Well, they used to have this great B2B play as well, business-to-business play, where a lot of businesses were selling through eBay. Well, now a lot of them have either used both there and Amazon, or they've stopped using eBay for a variety of reasons, and some of it was changing ownership and policy and whatnot, and they're just using Amazon. And there's some others, too, but that's the other big player now in the market, and they're taking a lot of business away from eBay.
They are.
An awful lot. Okay, folks, we have one more segment now, and that means the last shot for you to get your calls in here at 800-859-0957. Please take an opportunity to do that. When we come back, we've got some more. We're going to talk about some travel applications that you can download to your phone. One of them is a charm, but a very necessary one for traveling. If there is anything on our program that you missed by some reason, don't forget that starting up on Sunday night, I will be posting the entire podcast of this program. And then we'll also break it down to individual segments so you can download certain conversations, and you can hear, for instance, the questions and answers we have, or some of these websites we're going to suggest. It's a gem we're going to get to.
So what you're saying to me is that if I really, really am a Gary Baker fan and I just love hearing his voice, I can move my podcast right up to that particular
segment.
There you
go. There you go.
Cool.
You are. You got it
correct. That won't get us any downloads.
Just go back to internetadvisor.net. Show notes, by the way, are complete there. By the way, if you want to find out more about that iChallenge.org organization, wonderful organization, it's a series of videos, and I put a link up there for them. I did a whole bunch of video interviews with John Whitaker and a lot of the people that you heard on the air today, and it's just wonderful stories of how they have been helping people who are in need, who are visually challenged, to get the training they need, to get the equipment, and sometimes to get the operations they need. So if you know somebody who is visually challenged, who has a need of that, iChallenge.org. Go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and find out more about that. Let's go to Judy from Franklin. Hi, Judy, the historic village of Franklin. How can we help you?
Hi. I was wondering on a question about, you know, when if I were to buy a Mac computer, and you were talking about the programs, they have different names than I'm accustomed to for, like, creating a document.
Yeah.
And you said Numbers was, like, the equivalent to Excel. What happens if I buy a Mac and I figure out how to use those programs? Can I send that document to somebody who doesn't have a Mac?
Very good. Are they backward compatible, Akel?
Yeah, you can export from that file when you get ready to save it. You can say File, Save As, and then you pick the type of format you want to save it as. Do I want to save it as a Windows file, a Mac file, whatever way you want to do it. Yes, really.
So then the Mac has the ability to save it as an Excel file, you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
It's nice to find that interoperability, because you don't find it very often with these walled gardens are being built.
You never used to, and they're doing better and better at
yes.
really making sure that they're compatible.
Because it's global.
Okay. Global. And then, obviously, if you have a flash drive and it's got Excel programs on it, it can open them, right?
You mean Excel documents.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said the program, and I just didn't want to get people confused. Yes, you could.
Excuse me.
No, that's quite right. But you're right. Excel documents, and it is good that we have that interoperability.
Right.
I wonder if we aren't going to be breaking down more of those walls.
Now, let me say that within reason, okay? So, for example, if you've got a Mac and it's running Numbers on it now, and you've got a file from Excel 3, which is like 10,000 versions back, it may or may not open it. But most of the recent stuff
is
Shell.
Stuff will.
Yep. Right. Okay.
That's a very good point. Make sure that your Windows program is as up-to-date as you can get in order to make that switch.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I don't know what version I have. So, yeah, I'll have to... I bought it, I think, with... You remember when... when was it?
If you bought it in this century, you got a pretty good chance that it's compatible.
Yeah, I don't think it's the Excel 3.
and the other thing that you can do, too, is that save the document on a flash drive, take a walk over to a store that sells Macs, and stick it in the machine and see if you can open it.
Oh, before you buy, of course.
Yeah, try before you buy.
They might not let you to Best Buy, but if you go to someplace like Shane's...
A small place, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Do they let you do it at the Apple Store?
Comptech.
Yeah, they'll let you do it at the Apple Store.
Yeah, Apple Store will let you.
Will you?
Maybe, yeah. They're a little, like you said, they're a little tricky on what you stick in them.
Okay. Yeah, but most of the responsible places are making sure they have the proper virus protection on their machine, so therefore sticking should be safe.
Yeah, with protection.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to be careful for yourself as well. Okay?
Right. You know, the lady that called just before me, the one that had the battery question, I was just wondering, my computer is from 2009, and... I use it plugged into the house all the time. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, is that I never take it anywhere. It never really runs off of its own battery. Am I doing anything bad?
Well, it's not so much bad is that you are probably reducing the endurance of the battery. Am I right, guys? If you were to take it out, it wouldn't hold a charge as long. Am I right on that, guys, or am I wrong?
You need to exercise the battery every now and then. So, you know, the next time you get ready to use the computer, the days are nicer now, go out on the back deck, without the AC adapter, turn it on, have a pina colada, type up a couple of stories, and then go back in the house and plug it back in, and that'll be good for
let
you.
The battery or you could just unplug it and plug it back in before you get up from.
Let the battery
that's
work.
What I was, okay, like overnight, just let it, right?
And like, once a month?
I try not to let it go to run down completely. Now, you guys don't think that's a problem?
Well, because what happens is the power saver settings, if you unplug it and leave it, it's probably going to go into hibernate or sleep within 15 minutes anyways. So the next time you're going to be watching all your Facebooks and then a couple YouTubes, just unplug it from the wall for an hour. Yeah. You know,
right.
And it runs. I do it, for instance, once a week, usually after the show. I'll get home. Just unplug it and exercise the battery. That it'll just give it. It means if you ever have to get up and go out and use it, you'll have longer battery life then. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, then in that regard, the answer is I don't have to do it because I don't I never take that thing anywhere.
You're probably right. Then you're right.
And you're fine. Continue on as is.
Okay. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You know what my wife does? She, you know, during the day, she's trying to save electricity. She'll walk around to every laptop that's in the house and unplug it because she calls the bricks vampires. And she swears that she's saving us money by doing that. And she goes, I saved $40 this month by unplugging those
vampires. Who are you to question, Mr. Rudell?
That's excellent, honey.
I bet you she can make an eagle squeal on a quarter, too, can't she?
Buffalo moo. Joanne from Concordia, Ohio. How you doing? How can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Yes, hi, gentlemen. My question is semi-related. Seems like this is Mac question.
It is. Yeah, it's migrating to Macs this week.
Kale was kind enough to speak with me off the air for a few minutes last week. I had called. I'm considering switching over to the Mac platform, and one of my major considerations was maintaining the ability to use my machine embroidery software. And I think I've got pretty well solved. I did talk to a colleague last week who uses the program extensively. She teaches that program, and she said she uses Parallels.
Okay.
So I did a little bit of research on that, and I'm very unfamiliar with that, but apparently it's a software program that allows
you virtual, to... Yeah, it's a virtual machine, right?
That is correct.
In other words, if it's a piece of software you install on your computer that runs another operating system. So if it's on a Mac, it could run Windows. If it was on Windows?
Right. That was my understanding, and that's kind of what it looked like to me. But I wondered if anybody there has some... you know, personal usage with that. Mm-hmm. And then I have a really stupid question. If I switched, well, for one thing, I have to tell you that I asked a lot of people, you know, if they had, you know, been using Macs or anything, and most of the people were still Windows users, and they all looked at me kind of cross-eyed and wondered why I wanted to switch. And my primary reasons, I have several, but one is I like the footprint. Okay. I like the the configuration of an iMac, and I really want to move into doing more with photos and videos. I need a new computer, and it just kind of seems to make sense.
Now, when you say you like the configuration of the iMac, you mean
the all-in-one?
Just what we would suggest, and we're out of time again, but what we would suggest is go to a store where you can get your hands on both because there are some great all-in-ones Windows machines as well.
I haven't seen any that floated my boat. Though.
Okay.
And next time, Joanne, call in earlier in the show.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe get a hold of you. Or you call in right near the end, and Cal will talk to you offline.
Maybe that's the plan, right?
Hey,
no,
Joanne.
That wasn't my plan.
No, that's right. Have a good week. We are going to get put you on hold, and we will talk to you afterwards about this. But by the way, the suggestion for her and for everybody else is find a good store, a Best Buy, a Micro Center if you're in the Detroit area, or one of the Apple stores or the Windows store out in Troy, and just get your hands on the machines and just try them on a little bit and find out how they feel for you. That's the way to go. Hey, thank you, folks, for being here with us and having a great weekend. Hope it's a safe one for you. We will see you here again next Saturday, 4 to 6, on the Internet Advisor.